who apparently will bat for the pitcher Jim Cott. Bunning worked two innings, gave up one hit, struck out one, and walked no one. He cannot win or lose the ball game as the score is tied at one apiece. Marichal this year has won 14 and lost 4. His earned run average is 2.04. Harmon Killebrew this year is hitting .264, but he has 17 home runs and 48 RBIs.
And we've had some changes in the umpires, as Jim told you about earlier. Jim Hunacek of the American League is behind the plate now. Umont has moved to second base. Engel is on the right field line. Neudecker of the National League is on the left field line. Vargo is at first base, and Barlick, of course, has moved out of the plate situation.
Juan Marichal, and as he warms up, Killebrew prepares to step in. And Jim Cott worked two innings, gave up one earned run, three hits, struck out one, and walked no one. 1-1 ball game. And Marichal, of course, this is his ball game at this moment to win or lose. Armin Killebrew, who hit a home run and all-star play a year ago, the slugger for the Minnesota Twins, they call him the killer, steps in to face Juan Marichal. Top of the sixth inning, 1-1 the score.
The National League has made a defensive change. Jim Lefevre has left the second base position, and Ron Hunt of the New York Mets has moved into second base position.
The announcement for Harmon Killebrew, who now steps into the box to face Juan Marichal. Marichal's first pitch after that big kick is outside, and it's ball one. And now we understand that Mel Stottlemyre, the New York Yankees, is warming up for the American League. Marichal, this time a sidearm motion with a curveball, and it's strike one. 1-1 to Killebrew.
And of course, the big discussion now, Jim, is who is the greatest pitcher, Marichal or Koufax, in that National League? They're both completely different. Marichal is a little bit cuter out there.
The high kick again, overhand, and this one goes by Cardenas and into center field, and Killebrew has a hit on a 1-1 count.
It looked like he had a low breaking ball, either a slider or a curveball. He reached out for it, what looked like a pretty good pitch, and hit it right up the middle.
Well, Killebrew's number is 3, and he is dressed in gray. Here's another man whose number is 3 and dressed in gray, but he is Dick McCullough, the all-star shortstop who was fouled out to Santo at third twice. Nobody out. Tie breaking run. Armin Killebrew at first base. Sneaking in at third is Ron Santo, anticipating a bunt, but McAuliffe watches a fastball, catch the inside corner, strike one.
McAuliffe stepped out briefly to look down at Bertie Tebbets, coaching at third base for the American League All-Star team.
Santo's still on that grass, and another fastball from Marichal, and it is strike two. Neither time was McAuliffe actually preparing to bunt. At least we could not detect it. Two strike count with Killebrew at first. 1-1 the score. We're in the sixth inning from St. Louis with a temperature better than 100 degrees. Marichal throws, and this one is grounded foul, and Hank Bauer picks it up on the second hop in the coaching box at first base.
Wonder why Sam Mealy did not have McAuliffe bunting well. Probably because he is a left-handed hitter capable of pulling the ball, and with McCovey holding the runner close at first base, this gives a left-handed hitter a pretty good opening between that second baseman and first baseman, so McAuliffe is probably shooting for it.
Two strike is the count, and here's the pitch, and this one is deep down the right field line. If it stares fair, and it is foul. McAuliffe never left the batter's box, but that ball went on a line and high and deep down the right field line, and then at the last moment, curved foul, and the count remains two strikes.
And the wind is absolutely no factor at all in this ball game. The flags are hanging completely limp, and it's hot.
Fastball high and outside, and it's 1-2.
Marichal, as we mentioned, is a little bit cuter than Koufax is on the mound. He throws different deliveries, sidearm, underhand, sometimes overhand, screwballs, sliders. He's liable to throw any pitch from any different direction.
Marichal looks over at Killebrew, who's very close, and now Juan steps off and goes for the rosin bat. Killebrew with just a short leadoff first. The set by Marichal. 1-2 the count. McAuliffe waits and strikes out. Swinging. Now, here's our K-line, who has been breaking up ball games for the Detroit Tigers all year long, especially in recent weeks. But in this ball game, he is fouled to the first baseman and popped to the second baseman. K-line, a 325 hitter, comes up with one man down, and Killebrew perched at first base in a 1-1 ball game in the sixth, the American League at bat.
National League infield, of course, is at double play depth, and they're playing K-line about straight away in the infield, slightly to pull in the outfield.
There's Shell with that high kick, and a breaking ball stays high, and it's ball one. There, Shell, Tony, looks as though he's got a pretty hard slider as well as a curve and a fastball. Overhand pitch, base hit, center field. Killebrew will stop at second, as up with it is Willie Mays, and in deference to his arm, as Willie fires the ball into Cardenas, K-line stops at first, and Killebrew at second.
And now Jim Fregosi is coming out of the American League All-Star dugout and is going out to second base to run for Harmon Killebrew.
So Fregosi runs for Killebrew. One run, four hits now for the American League, no errors. One run, three hits, and no errors for the National League. And Frank Robinson, who has flied to left and has been called out on strikes, is the batter.
Well, I imagine Frankie'd like to do the National League a little dirt right now, Jim. He probably has a little bit of a personal grudge against most of these players. He's a fierce competitor, and he wants to get out there and beat this ball club probably more than any of the other American leaguers.
Marischal in trouble with men on first and second, and Robinson hits the first pitch high in foul territory. McCovey is over near the stands and has it, and they are two down. And that brings up another fine hitter in Tony Oliva. Marischal in momentary trouble on singles by Killebrew and K-line, now has the second man out, and Oliva, who has lined the center and popped to the shortstop, is the batter. Down in the sixth on a hot afternoon in a classic ball game. You could not want a better ball game. You could want it a few degrees cooler, but it is 1-1. There have been some fine pitching performances, notably Denny McLane and Jim Bunning. Oliva, the left-hander, staring at Marischal, the right-hander. Marischal with a big kick fastball. Oliva swings, and it's strike one.
You don't see too many of these hitters up there going up there and taking a pitch. They're all up there swinging. They know these pitchers are coming in with that fastball, that first pitch, on this hot day, and they're up there taking a good cut at it.
Fregosi at second, who has stolen nine bases. K-line at first, a fine base runner. Two down. Marischal delivers, ground ball. This is Ron Hunt at second, who throws to McCovey at first, and that's the inning. No runs on two hits, no errors, and two men left. And the score at the end of the first half of the sixth inning remains the National League 1 and the American League 1. If you own an electric razor, I want to give you a fair warning. Do not listen to what I'm going to say. Especially if you're happy with your shaver. And if you want to stay happy with it. Because Gillette has some news that may make you very unhappy with your electric shaver. News about a razor blade. A new razor blade. With a miracle plastic coating baked onto the edge. Invented and patented by Gillette. If you try this blade, here is what we predict will happen. One, you will discover that this isn't just a new blade, but a whole new standard of shaving. Two, you feel how much less pull there is with that plastic coating on the edge. Three, you will be hopelessly spoiled. Four, you may never be able to go back to your electric razor. And five, you won't know whether to thank us or write us a nasty letter. Are you game enough to give it a try? Ask for the spoiler, alias the Gillette Super Stainless.
Jim Fregosi has gone into play shortstop for the American League team, and on the pitch is Mal Stottlemyre. The score is still 1-1. Last half of the sixth inning, one run, four hits, no errors for the American League. One run, three hits, and no errors for the National.
And The three-day flight of the man Gemini 10 is scheduled Monday, July 18th. For full and comprehensive coverage of this, the most complex mission, follow it on NBC Radio and Television, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time, Monday, July the 18th. Now, it looks as though Earl Batty is coming out here in the sixth inning, the bottom of the sixth, and will do the catching, replacing Freehand for the American League. And we will pick up the spots in which they will bat as they are announced to us. But right now, we see Fregosi at shortstop replacing McCullough, and Batty catching. Fregosi, of course, ran for Killebrew, who was batting for the pitcher, so we assume he is in the number nine batting spot. Willie Mays up, swings, and misses at the first pitch from Jim Cott. 1-1 the score. Mays has been called out on strikes, has singled, moved around the third, and then scored on an infield hit by Ron Santo, the only National League run. Cott's ready with a one-strike pitch. Fastball, and Mays swings again at a strike two. Clemente is coming out on deck.
Stottlemyre is a low ball pitcher. He keeps that sinker down. He's very tough, and you'll see a lot of ground balls to your infielders. He also throws a sidearm curve and a real hard slider. He has a great deal of control.
1-2 from Stottlemyre. I believe I said Cott. It is Mel Stottlemyre as Killebrew batted for Cott. Stottlemyre, a right-hander from the Yankees. Bobby Richardson, the other member from New York on this team. 1-2 pitch. Curveball just misses.
And in mentioning the Yankees, Jim, it's unusual not to see a Mickey Mantle, an Elston Howard, a Whitey Ford on these all-star squads.
7-10, Stottlemyre's record. 3.23 is earned run record. Mays hits this one deep to center, but not too deep, as Kaline actually comes in now and takes it. Ball started out as though it carried very deeply, but did not. Kaline takes it for the first out. Here is Roberto Clemente, who has flied to center and has singled. Roberto singled Mays down to second base, was later forced by Willie McCovey in the fourth inning, in which the National League scored its only run.
Talking to Willie Mays before the ball game about how the ball carries in this ballpark, and he feels that from left center down the left field line and from right center down the right field line, the ball carries real well. If you get the ball in the center field, the ball does not carry quite as well as that one did not.
Pitch, and this one is lined inside the line, down the first baseline. Clemente on his way around first, over to pick it up as a lever. Guns the ball towards second base, but Clemente is in standing up. A double for Roberto Clemente, his second hit in a row. He has two of the four National League hits. And now the National League has a chance to break the tie. 1-1 in the sixth inning with one down. The National League, the home team at bat. Here's Hank Aaron, a fine hitter with 26 home runs, 67 RBIs. But in this ball game, he's been called out on strikes and has fouled out to the first baseman, George Scott. That was a line drive by Clemente off the end of his bat, right hugging the bag and down the right field line. Stottlemyre works. Ground ball this time to Brooks Robinson. A great pickup by Brooks. Over to Scott. Clemente holds on, and they're two down.
The ball is hit to Robinson's right at third base, and he went over to his right to the foul line and scooped it up, making that same play he does all the time and making it look easy again.
Well, here is Willie McCovey, who has popped to Robinson and has reached on a fielder's choice, and they're going to put him aboard. With a right-handed Ron Santo due up, and Stottlemyre, a right-handed pitcher. And with two down, manager Sammy Lee, playing the obvious percentages, will give an intentional pass to Willie McCovey. And this will be the first walk of any kind in this ballgame. Ball four, and McCovey trots slowly down toward first base. Now here is Ron Santo playing the percentages, in that Ron is a right-handed batter, but remember, he has lined to Robinson, who made a great play, and has hit a little infield single to Robinson that scored the only run of the ballgame for the National League. They're two down in the bottom of the sixth. The score is 1-1. McCovey's at first, Clemente's at second. And Stottlemyre now faces Ron Santo.
And you wonder when the last time was, if at all, that an intentional pass was given up to get to Santo.
Jim Honachek, who started out this game umpiring at third, is behind the plate and calls that first pitch from Stottlemyre, curveball, strike one. Al Bartik was behind the plate, has moved to third base. Ed Vargo is at second, has gone to first, and Frank Eamon at first has gone to second. The umpires, like everybody else, trying to beat the heat. Clemente at second, McCovey at first. One strike to Santo, two down. Stottlemyre ready and throws, and Santo grounds this one to Robinson, who's down and forces the man at second base with a throw to Bobby Cannavale. No runs, one hit, no errors, and two left. And the score at the end of the sixth inning remains the National League 1 and the American League 1.
I've got to figure out how they do it. How the Chrysler dealers can sell those big, beautiful new Chryslers for so little. You see, I'm a test pricer. I test price cars all over town. And I thought I knew a good deal when I heard one. But then, I test priced a Chrysler Newport with all the extras like automatic transmission, power steering, power brakes, radio, heater, white walls, and a big 383 cubic inch V8. And you know, it came out that a Chrysler is priced just a few dollars a month more than one of those smaller cars with the same equipment. But test price a Chrysler yourself. Your Chrysler dealer has immediate delivery on all models and all colors. See him soon.
The Chrysler savings season is here. Test price a Chrysler. See your local Chrysler dealer. Moving up has never been easier.
Setting the National League defense again for you briefly at first base McCovey, second base Ron Hunt, shortstop Cardenas, Santo the third baseman in the infield.
Well, over 49,000, very nearly 50,000 here, 49,936 paid as Brooks Robinson, who came up with a great play and has scored the only run for the American League, steps in against Juan Marichal. Norm Cash is on deck. Robinson takes a curveball, strike one. Due up next is George Scott, but Norm Cash set to bat, and being a first baseman, of course, probably will move in defensively. Marichal, Tony pointed out to me, actually ran to the mound to begin this inning. And in better than 100-degree heat, it doesn't seem like the thing to do, does it? Ball one. One and one. Nobody out in the seventh inning. The score remains 1-1. Marichal ready with a high kick and throws high. It's 2-1. We'll recall again, the National League has won 18 of these All-Star contests. The American League, 17. There's been one tie. But the National League has won 14 of the last 19, 7 of the last 8. Marichal is ready at 2-1 and throws high and away from Brooks Robinson. It is 3-1.
The National League infield and outfield have swung around the extreme left for Brooks Robinson, the right hand and the other. They're playing him to pull in the infield and the outfield.
Then one pitch, and he's swinging on it and fouls it. Whoops, fair foul. Foul, says Jim Honachek, and Brooks Robinson will have to come back. It was that close. Santo, I believe, was in fair territory. His glove was in foul. Honachek, the plate umpire, has come back to Brooks, and it's 3-2. Brooks operating with that bat a little bit, trying to get the dampness off of it. Bats, pencils, pens, everything are damp out here. And very hot weather. Each team has four hits. Marichal throws 3-2, and Robinson lines a base hit to left field. That is his second, and he is 2-for-3.
Robinson hit a curveball on the line to left field to Aaron. Looked like a pretty good pitch, Jim. I think Marichal thought it was, too. He doesn't seem too worried out there that he doesn't have his stuff.
A Well, here is Norm Cash. He was in the on-deck circle and obviously will come into play first base. Norm this year is hitting .259, but he can hit the long ball. 12 home runs, 11 doubles, 1 triple, a .259 average. And importantly, a left-handed batter to face the right-handed Marichal with none down and Brooks Robinson at first. There's a ball hit down to McCovey. McCovey has trouble getting out of his glove. Back to Cardenas and back to McCovey. That's a double play. For a while, it looked as though Willie was not going to be able to dig that ball out of his glove, but got it down to Cardenas, and he relayed the ball back, and Cash is hit into a double play. And here comes Earl Batty, who is filling in for Bill Freehan. Freehan, in his two times at bat, line to right and single to center. Batty up for the first time. Earl, a right-handed batter, hitting .280, 16 RBIs, 2 home runs. Strike on the outside corner, and Tony, it says here that Earl has stolen 2 bases.
Well, many times a catcher, Batty, of course, is not very fast, but...
Strike on the outside corner, it's 2 strikes to Batty.
Whitey Ford also is not very fast from the Yankees, but you get these slower runners, and that first baseman plays way behind them. They give a good decoy leading off first base, and they can steal a base occasionally.
2 down, none on now. Marichal delivers, and Batty slices this one foul down the right field line and well back in the seats. Count remains 2 strikes. We're in the 7th inning of a 1-1 ball game.
Batty, along with Ron Santo of the National League, is one of the players in this game wearing a helmet protecting the left side of their face.
2 strike pitch, outside and low. It's 1-2. The American League scored its run in the 2nd inning when Brooks Robinson tripled, came home on Sandy Koufax's wild pitch. The National League scored in the 4th inning. Willie Mays scored the run on an infield hit, beat out by Ron Santo. And that's it. We're at the top of the 7th. 1-2. Marichal ready and throws, and Batty strikes out. No runs, 1 hit, no errors, and none left. The score at the end of the first half of the 7th inning, American League 1, National League 1.
I've done it again.
Done what again?
Come out without cigarettes.
Well, here, try one of mine.
Oh, that's okay.
Here, try one of mine. Have a Salem.
Salem is the best of cigarettes that we fresh in your taste for you. Salem is the best of cigarettes from all of America turning to. When you buy a best of cigarettes, don't take anything but the best. Salem is the menthol cigarette, the one brand that outsells all the rest.
Try one of mine.
Turn to Salem, for the taste that's springtime fresh.
Jim Simpson with Tony Kubek. The bottom of the 7th inning, the National League at bat, Joe Torre, who was struck out swinging and hit into a forced play as the batter. As we have Norm Cash now at first. Bobby Knopf of California stays at second. Jim Fregosi is your shortstop. Brooks Robinson at third. The catcher's Earl Batty, and the outfield remains the same. Robinson in left, Kaline in center, Oliva in right. Here's Torre, who has gone all the way and has caught 7 innings. The National League, Stottlemyre throws a curveball over the plate, but low, ball 1. Batty giving the signs to Stottlemyre, who comes in with the fastball inside. It is ball 2. Ron Hunt, who replaced Jim Lefevre, will get his first shot at bat in a moment. Stottlemyre throws. This one is low, and it is ball 3 to Torre in a 1-1 ball game. And in the Sun Field, on the left field side, and as a matter of fact, in the right field side, the customers in this better than 100-degree heat continue to shuttle back and forth between their seats and under the stands. Fouled upstairs by Torre. It is 3-1. Joe is swinging on the 3-0 pitch.
So far, Jim, we've had a reversal in the manager's pregame strategy. Mealy said he would go along all the way with his front eight, and he's made 3 defensive changes, shortstop, first base, and catch.
Ground ball. Hit by Choi. Robinson waits for the second hop, hurries his throw, and has Joe by plenty of steps.
Of course, aside from the pitching changes, manager Walt Olson has made just one. He's moved Ron Hunt into the second base position.
Well, here's Ron Hunt up for the first time, and Willie Stargell of the Pirates, a 337 hitter, has come out on the on-deck circle to hit for Leo Cardenas. Hunt hitting 293, 23 RBIs, and three home runs on the year, and the pride of the New York Mets. All-star second baseman last year, Stottlemyre throws strike one to Hunt. Tony and I were in Pittsburgh over the weekend to watch the Mets play the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Stargell, who is on deck now, tore down Forbes Field. He rattled doubles and home runs all around that stadium. Low from Stottlemyre to Hunt, and it's 1-1.
Warming up now for the National League is Perry of the San Francisco Giants.
1-1 to score. Stottlemyre throws curveball. Hunt ducked away, but actually it wasn't that far inside. Nevertheless, it is ball two, 2-1.
Here, Jim, that Hunt was actually ducking into the ball a little bit, trying to get hit by it. He's that type of player. He'll get on base anyway and beat you any way he can.
Fastball hits in the dirt. Patty blocks it, picks it up, and it is 3-1. Well, Stottlemyre had Torrey 3-0, and Joe swung on the 3-0 pitch, fouled it off, and then grounded to Brooks Robinson. Now the count is 3-1 to Hunt. Stottlemyre is ready. Here's a 3-1 pitch, bounded back. In quickly is Fregosi, near second base. Sidearm throw to Norm Cash at first, and they're two down.
Perry walking up the National League.
Willie Stargell is coming into bat, so I would imagine in a short while, in the next inning, you will see Maury Wills, who is not selected as the number one shortstop this year, at shortstop for the National League. Want to hear something? Listen to Mr. Stargell's statistics. 337 is batting average. 63 RBIs. 22 home runs. Willie Stargell of the Pirates now batting with two out in the seventh inning. Facing Stottlemyre, Stargell is left-handed and watches a fastball, strike one.
Sonny Siebert is now warming up for the American League, and of course, everybody will remember his pitching performance on a no-hitter earlier this year.
Low, it's 1-1. Siebert also threw a one-hitter. Mel Stottlemyre, working in better than 100-degree heat, throws a curveball and catches the inside corner, and Willie has not taken the bat off his shoulder yet. It is 1-2. McCarver is up. The pinch hit. Fastball, and Stargell fouls this one down the left field side. The pitcher is due up next. And if Stargell can reach base, McCarver will do the batting for him.
The American League defense is playing him to pull.
Outside from Stottlemyre. And it's 2-2.
Bobby Knopp, the second baseman, is actually back almost 5 yards on the grass in right field. But we saw Willie Stargell last week, as you mentioned, Jim, tore down the left field fence a couple of times.
Outside, barely missing, and it has gone all the way on Stargell, 3-2. Two down here in the seventh inning in a 1-1 ball game. Stottlemyre toiling in the last of the seventh for the New York Yankees and the American Leaguers. Koufax and Marichal have already worked, so has Denny McLane. Curveball, and this one has popped up. Foul off the third baseline. Brooks Robinson comes over and has it for the third out. Stargell fouls to Robinson. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. And the score at the end of the seventh inning is the American League 1, the National League 1.
This is WGY News. This is the sound that means news, up to the minute, concise, and complete. From the facilities of NBC, Associated Press, United Press International, the United States Weather Bureau, a staff of stringers throughout a 26-county area, and a newsroom staff of experienced news people, WGY keeps you informed of the latest happenings. more than 20 times a day in regularly scheduled newscasts from 6 in the morning to midnight, WGY brings you the latest news from around the world, around the area, and across the street. And when something newsworthy happens, you get it in bulletin form when it happens. All this, plus specialized programs on farm news, sports, weather, and business, make WGY's news department your best information center for what's going on in the world today.
Tony Kubek along with Jim Simpson here in St. Louis at the All-Star Game. 1-1 the score, 5 hits for the American League and 4 hits for the National League. Not an error been made in this ballgame yet. Maury Wills has gone in to play shortstop for the National League. And the hand you hear is partly for Maury, but I think mostly for Tim McCarver of the St. Louis Cardinals, who has come in to catch.
And batting to lead off against Juan Marichal as we move now to the eighth in this tie ball game, this 1966 All-Star Baseball game, from New York, Bobby Richardson. Bobby batting in the spot formerly occupied by Bobby Knopp, the second baseman from the California Angels. Richardson hitting .263, 20 RBIs, 4 home runs. Bobby, an all-star second baseman many times over. Eighth inning, and he'll face Juan Marichal. Gaylord Perry is warming up to pitch the ninth or to be ready in the eighth if needed, and we may have an extra inning ball game. It's 1-1. Marichal fires, and it's strike on the outside corner.
Santo at third base is shortened up considerably. Richardson, of course, is a bunt threat. Wills is not playing too deep at short. They're playing him about straight away.
Sidearm this time, and Maury Wills has his first chance on the second hop. The throw to McCovey at first, and is one down. Richardson bounces to Wills at short. Here is Jim Fregosi up for the first time. Killebrew singled back in the sixth inning, and Fregosi went in to run for him and stayed in the ballgame at shortstop from the California Angels. Marichal ready, throws a curveball. It's bounced foul to Santo at third. Fregosi hitting .248 on the year, 31 RBI, 6 home runs. Well, the sun again has disappeared for the moment. The temperature remains well above 100. And with the sun disappearing, some of the people are coming from under the stands and back to their seats. Marichal throws outside. It is 1-1 to Jim Fregosi.
And now out of the dugout for the American League, and in the batter's circle is Rocky Colavito, who apparently is going to pinch hit.
Fouled back. Pitch was actually a little inside to Fregosi, but he got the batter out on it and fouled it off to the left and over the dugout of the American Leaguers. One and two the count. Marichal ready again. Sun is out again. Sidearm curveball this time, and he did not go around. Marichal thought so. Either that, or thought that the ball had gone over the outside corner of the plate. Jim Honachick sees neither. It is 2-2.
Many people, of course, are predicting that Juan Marichal or Sandy Koufax or both can win 30 ball games.
2-2 the count. Fastball, but it's outside. It is 3-2.
Of course, in line with that, Dizzy Dean was the last pitcher to win 30 ball games, and right now, Koufax with 15 is right in line with Dizzy Dean's 30-game pace, and Juan Marichal is just 4 days behind him.
Here's a 3-2 pitch with a big kick, and it's lined into right field. Clementi had a little late break on the ball, but got there in plenty of time for the second out. Dick McAuliffe, who fouled out twice and struck out. He fouled out twice against Sandy Koufax and struck out against Juan Marichal, is up. And Rocky Colavito will bat for him. Marichal sidearms this curveball outside, and it's ball one to Colavito. Rocky, of course, plays with the Indians, having a .263 year, 16 home runs, 47 RBIs. And in a 1-1 ball game in late innings, all it takes is one swing from a man like Colavito to break things up. Overhand. Change up that time, and it is ball two. Marichal, Tony, is throwing quite a few pitches.
Yes, he is. He's laboring out there. Of course, Marichal is difficult, Jim, because he throws from so many different angles. You don't know where the pitch is coming from. As we mentioned, he's overhand sometimes, three-quarters, all types of deliveries.
Here's a 2-0 pitch. Sidearm this time, and Colavito hits it straight up in the air in the short left field. Harris is coming in and waving off Maury Wills and has it for the third out. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of the first half of the eighth inning, the score is still the National League 1 and the American League 1.
Hey, fellas, if you douse your hair with hair tonics that have too much alcohol, know what you can get? Drunk hair. And greasy creams, they can get your hair plastered. So swear off alcohol and give up grease. Change to Gillette Heads Up. It's based on a greaseless wonder synthetic. So clean, so natural, it grooms like water, only better. Won't dry up, won't plaster down. So, fellas, swear off drunk hair. Take the pledge. Use Heads Up and be Heads Up handsome.
In writing, Paper Mate has a great trio, the famous Profile Trio. Three pens, each of a different size, shape, and weight, to fit your writing preference. Buy the Paper Mate Husky for extra heft. Or maybe the average weight regular Paper Mate is for you. Or choose the Paper Mate Slim, light, and compact. See the Paper Mate Profile Trio and pick the pen that's right for you from the Paper Mate Profile Trio. We pause 30 seconds for station identification.
This is WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. It's happened. Yes, through the spectacular efforts of every employee at Schenectady Plymouth, the Outstanding Chrysler Corporation Quality Dealer Award is theirs for the fifth time. Only seven dealerships out of the entire region will receive this award this year. This proves that the trying harder people at Schenectady Plymouth are offering the best in quality selection, used car warranty, and service. Why not stop in and see for yourself? That's Schenectady Plymouth, 1016 State Street in Schenectady.
Kubek along with Jim Simpson here in St. Louis at the All-Star Game. Defensively for the American League, it's Norm Cash at first. Richardson has come into play, second base. Fregosi at short, Brooks Robinson at third. Left field, Frank Robinson. Center field, Al Kaline. And right field, Tony Oliva. Catching, of course, is still Earl Batty. And the new pitcher for the American League, Sonny Siebert of the Cleveland Indians. Score still tied here, 1-1. Last half of the eighth inning.
Juan Marichal is due up but will not bat. Jim Ray Hart, his teammate from the San Francisco Giants, will bat for him. Hart, a .289 hitter, 48 RBIs, 20 home runs. Marichal worked three innings, gave up no runs, three hits, and struck out two and walked no one. The National League has walked nobody. The American League has walked one, that man, McCovey, intentionally. So here is Jim Ray Hart of the Giants, right-handed batter against the right-handed Siebert. Ball is fouled back, strike one. And apparently a good catch made upstairs. Siebert was added to the team when Sam McDowell, of whom many predict great things, came up with arm trouble, sat out a great deal of the first half of the season, and removed himself, saying he's been ineffective and still not right. Hart swings and misses on this pitch from Siebert. It is strike two. 1-1 is the score. We are now in the bottom of the eighth inning. A ball game that is less than 2 hours old, moving right along, but so far tied, and the prospects of an extra inning ball game loom large. Here's a two-strike pitch from Siebert. Fastball, got him on the outside corner. Strike three. Jim Ray Hart is out, and here is Willie Mays. Took a called third strike in the first inning from Denny McLain. Off Jim Cott, got a single and scored the only run for the National League. And lined to center off Mel Stottlemyre. It's this one to right center and deep. Kaline is back, though, and has it for the second out.
so far, the strategy of these American League pitchers has been pretty much the same. They've kept the ball away from these powerful National League hitters. Score still 1-1. One run, five hits, no errors for the American League. For the National League, one run, four hits, no errors.
Well, here's Roberto Clemente, who has flied to center and has singled and doubled. Two down in the eighth. Stottlemyre, since retired, worked two innings, no runs and two hits, struck out no one. She was ready, and Mr. Clemente took a real swing. That's the biggest breeze in St. Louis in 5 days.
And Clemente, of course, has 13 home runs this year. Last year, I believe he had just eight. Last year, if you recall, he started out the season in a weakened condition due to a wintertime malaria attack.
Steven Reddy with a one-strike pitch. Breaking ball outside. It is 1-1. Eighth inning, two down, 1-1 the score in St. Louis. Flagpole is absolutely, well, the flag is just hanging there. Foul upstairs. It is 1-2. Not a breath of air. Someone asked Casey Stengel. Casey was out here for a television show yesterday afternoon, and someone asked him what he thought of the ballpark. And, of course, Casey knows it is a remarkable piece of architecture, one of the finest-looking ballparks we have seen anywhere. But Casey had to come up with a Stengel-like remark and said, it's great. It keeps the heat in perfectly. 1-2 the count to Clemente. Seaver throws fastball, and it's fouled upstairs again down the right field line.
It's interesting to see how these defenses play Clemente. He, of course, hits the ball all over, and he hit the ball last time, a line drive right down the first base line, and this time up, Norm Cash is playing him like a strict left-handed pull hitter. Tony Oliva is playing him down the right field foul line, Al Kaline in his right center. He can hit it all over.
1-2 the count. Here's the pitch, and he fouls this one back, an inside and high pitch, and lost the bat from his right hand and quickly goes over and rubs some dirt on it. Cash at first, Richardson at second, Ferdosi at short, Robinson at third. The outfields remain the same. Robinson in left, Kaline in center, Oliva in right. Batty is now the catcher. Siebert, the pitcher. Now Clemente is ready, and so is Siebert. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball, it's hit foul again and again off to the right side.
Besides the players in this contest, you look around and see some pretty good managers. Now Clemente's going over to get a towel to wipe himself off. It's just that hot, and the sweat is just dripping in his face, and he's going to get a towel to wipe himself off so he can see better. Talking about these managers, Harry Walker for the National League at third, challenging for the pennant. At first base, Herman Franks of the San Francisco Giants, presently in first base. Of course, Walt Alston managing this National League ball club. He's got a good shot the second half if Don Drysdale comes back.
1-2 pitch is outside to Clemente. It is 2-2 with two down in the last of the eighth inning. To repeat, the American League scored one run in the second inning, the National League one in the fourth, and that is it. 2-2 pitch. Ground ball. This is Richardson's chance at second. Bobby's up with it and throws to Norm Cash for the third out. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. And the score at the end of the eighth inning is the American League one, the National League one.
The Dodge boys are setting out to fight for the kind of deals you'll know are right. These rebels are really pounding leather to get you and a great new Dodge together, the Dodge Boys.
The good guys, they pounded on a great new breed of cars you've got to see. These babies put you in the lead.
Ride with the good guys.
The Dodge Boys.
So, partner, come on down for the best 66 in town at the Dodge Boys. Here's Monaco to top the bill. This car makes driving a brand new thrill. Coronet's got a lot of sass, goes like no other car in its class. And here's the new leader of the whole Dodge pack, Charger, a new full-size fastback. So join the Dodge Rebellion now and let these rebels show you how the Dodge boys.
The good guys.
You can tell they're good guys. They all wear white hats.
Tony Kubek along with Jim Simpson here at the All-Star game. The defensively for the National League, it's still Willie McCovey at first, Ron Hunt at second base, Maury Wills at shortstop, and Ron Santo at third base. In left field, Henry Aaron. In center field, Willie Mays. In right field, Roberto Clemente. Catching is Tim McCarver. And coming in to pitch for the National League, Gaylord Perry. The score, 1-1, one run, five hits, no errors for the American League. The National League, one run, four hits, and no errors.
Al Kaline, who is 1-for-3, the batter, to lead off the ninth inning of this 1-1 ball game. And you can see what Walt Alston has done. The big men, McCovey, Santo, Aaron, Mays, Clemente, who can knock the ball out of here, are all playing all the way. One swing of the bat could decide this ball game. It's 1-1. Gaylord Perry knocks down Kaline with an inside fast curveball. And Al steps off to brush himself off.
To brush the mud off, Jim.
Perry, there's been a lot of talk about Juan Marichal, but remember, Perry's won 12 games, lost only one. Earned run average, 2.51. Fine pitcher. This one is fouled right through the box, and Bertie Tebbets moves rather quickly and gets out of the way.
And, Jim, we've got quite a pitcher's ball game up here. In fact, I've gotten so engrossed in this ball game, I misplaced my eighth inning on my scorecard.
You can borrow mine. Here's Kaline. 1-1 the count, facing Gaylord Perry. 1-1 the score, ninth inning. Ground ball. Santo backs up, has it. Now throws to first and has Kaline by plenty for the first out.
And the hand is for a real fine play by Santo. He ranged to his left, and the ball was hit pretty sharply. Made a real nice play.
Frank Robinson is up, and Robbie, hitting 312 to start today and batting in the number three position, has slid to left and called out on strikes and fouled to McCovey at first. Last time up, Robinson swung on the first pitch. Let's see what he does against Gaylord Perry. Pitch, and he swings on this one in the alley in left field. In comes Mays very quickly. Out goes Wills, and over the head. Makes the catch. Tony Kubek, you're an ex-shortstop. You know how difficult that can be.
It sure is. Jim Wills made a great play with his back to the hitter. Took it at full speed. And, of course, there's a little problem with the sun today. He had the sun in his eyes a little bit, too. But he went out there full speed and used that amazing speed of his to run it down.
Here is Tony Oliva, line to center, popped to short, and grounded to second. Perry's first pitch is right over. Fastball at the knees at strike one. Well, we have spoken a lot about the hot weather in this 1-1 ball game. 1-1, 5 hits, no errors for the American League. 1-4-0 for the National League. But, Tony, personal discomfort aside, we are watching quite an all-star ball game. Outside corner to Oliva, and it is strike two. Fine pitching and some great defensive plays. Not too many by the outfield because the ball has not been hit to the outfield too often. It's the infielders and the pitchers who have shared the glory. Two-strike pitch to Oliva. Fouled. Look out. Down there in the boxes along the left field line. Two down in the ninth. 1-1. Nobody on.
We mentioned the National League coaches who, of course, are managers in the National League. And, of course, we've got some pretty good ones here for the American League, too. And Bertie Tebbets and Hank Bauer presently leading the American League with the Baltimore Orioles by 8 games.
Here's a 2-strike pitch. Fouled again off. McCovey's at first, Hunt at second, Wills at short, Santo at third. Aaron at left, Mays in center, Clemente in right, McCarver now your catcher, and Perry on the mound. The National League leads by one game in total all-star victories over the American League, winners of the seven of the last eight. Onichick waits as Oliva had stepped out. Now Tony's back in, and Perry is ready with the pitch. Outside, fastball, ball one, one and two.
We are talking about the difficulty of playing Roberto Clemente of the National League Ball Club, while his counterpart in the American League is Tony Oliva. Oliva, I should say. Oliva can hit the ball all over, and it seems when he does not get the good part of the bat on the ball, he still has those holes with those bleeders and can just find those holes in the infield.
Here's the 1-2 pitch. Side on and lined to deep center field. Back goes Willie Mays. He's pounding that glove now, and there's the basket catch. High level. If he can do it, but Willie can. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. And the score at the end of the first half of the ninth inning remains the National League 1, the American League 1.
Forgotten how satisfying a real cigarette can taste, then you should smoke Camel. Millions of men do.
Tony Kubek along with Jim Simpson here at the All-Star Game, and quite an All-Star Game it is. A real pitching duel. 1-1 is the score. Sonny Siebert presently on the mound for the American League. And he's going to face Henry Aaron, a pretty tough customer, as they all are in this ballgame.
Well, Tommy Agee has now replaced Al Kaline, the first outfield replacement of the ballgame. And Agee of the Chicago White Sox moves into center. Kaline, 1-for-4 in the day, has retired. And now we are in the bottom of the ninth inning. Hank Aaron, Willie McCovey, and Ron Santo to face Sonny Siebert, and any one of them could end this ball game with one swing. High pitch from Siebert. Has faced three batters so far, set them down in order, and now the National League crowd here in St. Louis realizes that the National League can wrap it up and miss the bottom of the ninth. High pitch to Aaron. It is 2-0.
The American League defense is playing Aaron very deep in the outfield, and they're playing him slightly to pull. Brooks Robinson, the third baseman, of course, in a late inning situation, is protecting that line for a possible double. He's shading Aaron toward that third baseline considerably.
The ball pitch, it's straight up in the air. It may make the seats. Brooks Robinson is over, leaning and looking, and it drops into the stands. And by the way, remember, we have now reached the position with Gaylord Perry and Sonny Siebert that if this ball game does go extra innings, the managers, Walt Alston and Sam Neely, can keep these pitchers in as long as they are effective and the heat has not bothered them. The three-inning rule no longer exists. Two balls, one strike to the leadoff batter, Hank Aaron, in the bottom of the ninth. Siebert ready, throws inside and high. It is 3-1. 1-1 the score. McCovey on deck. Then one pitch taking all the way is Aaron, and it's 3-2. Fastball at the knees.
Talking about the possibility of extra innings, the American League still has Steve Barber, Gary Bell, Jim Catfish, Hunter of Kansas City, and Pete Rickard ready to go if they have to.
3-2. This one is lined to center. Tommy Agee swoops over, hits the glove, just as Willie Mays does. Tommy likes to imitate Willie. He makes the catch and is one down.
The National League pitchers that have not been in the ballgame are Billy McCool of the Cincinnati Reds, Claude Ramon of the Astros, and Bob Veal of the Pirates. So there's still seven pitchers left that either one of these managers can use if they have to.
Now the left-handed slugger, Willie McCovey, with 17 home runs on the year, steps in. Siebert has been very effective so far. Throws high and hard, ball one. McCovey asked to see the ball, or else Siebert said he didn't want it. One of the two, Honichek, makes the change. Santo on deck. One out in the ninth. American League One, National League One. Siebert throws, change up, and it floats over the plate at strike one. One and one.
Siebert has a good live arm. He's got a good fastball, keeps it down, and has a real good curveball and slider. He can be a tough pitcher.
Ball is popped up in the air in the infield. Brooks Robinson waves away for Gosi. He's standing on the grass and has it. Two down. Now Ron Santo. Infield hit in the fourth inning. His infield hit drove in Willie Mays with the only run of the ball game for the National League. He's reached on a forced play and is lined to Brooks Robinson. 1-1, remember. A long ball into the seats can end it. Sonny Siebert holds the ball in his glove in front of his chest as he gets the sign from catcher Earl Batty. Does not keep the ball behind his back. Just holds it there and then starts his windup from there. Third ball outside corner. It's strike one to Santo.
In line with this, Jim, about Siebert holding the ball by his chest, many times a pitcher that has a control problem will do this, cut down his motion a little bit, and it gives him a little bit more control. And I think this is manager Bertie Tebbutt's theory in making Siebert do this.
Ready for the next pitch. Santo swung a little late on that one, and it's strike two. I think that pitch from Sonny had a little more speed than Santo expected.
He's got that easy motion, and by the time you know it, that ball's on you, and you have to be ready off a pitcher like that.
Two-strike pitch, fastball. This one is too low, and it's one and two. Sounds like the Vice President of the United States is on his way to make an airplane, Tony. Looking down in the box, he's no longer there, and sirens are going. Bounding ball, it is fair. Robinson backhands it and back a third. Makes the long throw on a beauty of a play. And it's no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. The score at the end of the ninth inning is all tied. The American League won, the National League won.
Box seats for today's game are $8 and worth it because there's always a special excitement to an All-Star game. But you know, thousands of folks are enjoying first-rate seats for less than 50 cents. Those are the people watching on Motorola Color Television. You see, Motorola Color Television costs only about 15 cents a viewing hour for a table model you buy on a 3-year contract. You get high-fidelity color and the rectangular picture pioneered by Motorola. What's more, Motorola offers solid-state reliability at 17 critical points. If you've never seen baseball telecast in color, well, you've got a new thrill coming. Visit your Motorola dealer Saturday and take a look at the Major League Game of the Week, brought to you by Motorola. See how you can enjoy color TV for about 15 cents an hour with Motorola. Now introducing the new flight of color television.
Well, we've got an extra inning ball game here in the All-Star game. The American League, one run, five hits, no errors. The National League, one run, four hits and no errors. Going into the 10th inning.
Gaylord Perry continues on the mound, and Brooks Robinson, who has had quite a ball game for the American League All-Stars, is up. In the second inning, Robinson hit a low liner that skipped past Aaron for a triple off Sandy Koufax. Koufax then unleashed a curveball that was a wild pitch, and Brooks scored. In the fifth inning, he grounded a short. In the seventh inning, he singled a left. He's also turned in no less than three fine plays at third base. Gaylord Perry ready, throws the curveball inside. It's ball one.
Well, Jim, this is the fourth All-Star game to go into extra innings. In 1950, the game at Chicago went 14 innings. 1955 at Milwaukee, 12 innings. 61 at Frisco, 10 innings.
There he throws, and this is fouled out of play off to the right. 1-1 to Brooks Robinson, the Baltimore Orioles. Fine third baseman. There's still some pinch hitters around, you know. Philippe Alou, Tom Haller. For the National League. 1-1, and Brooks Robinson has another base hit over the head of Maury Wills into short left field. Bobby makes the big turn at first, but comes back. The ball got over the head of Ron Hunt, but Gaylord Curry backed up and holds Robinson to the single. He is 3-for-4 on the day and has the only run scored, plus those fine plays. Now in the seventh inning, Robinson led off with a single, and Norm Cash, the batter now, up for the first time, grounded into a double play. Norm Cash about to come up again. The American League still has in the dugout, available for pinch hitting, Andy Etchebarren and Carl Yastrzemski, to name a couple.
And now it'll be interesting to see if manager Sam Mealy will play for the one run, which I imagine he will. He may try and advance this runner.
Cash tries the bunt, but it's fouled at the plate. Strike one. Now Norm just leans on the bat and takes a good long look at Bertie Tippett. Remember, they just figured these signs out maybe as late as this morning. He wants to make sure he's got them right. One strike to Norm Cash. Brooks Robinson at first. None out. We are now in the 10th inning. 1-1 the score. Sneaking in is Santo. Cash, this ball gets away, and there's a free trip to second base. Gaylord Perry to the ball high. Let's see if it's a wild pitch or pass ball. Looked like a wild pitch, but we will await the official decision.
There was a possibility there, Jim, that it scored as a wild pitch. There's a possibility that may have been a cross-up by Gaylord Perry. As you mentioned, the signs, that catcher and that pitcher also have to get their signs straight, and it appeared that McCarver was looking for a breaking ball, and he got the fastball up and high, and the ball just got right on by him.
But Cash does not have to bunt now. And remember, the only other run the American League got figured with a wild pitch from Koufax. This is outside. 2-1 the count to Norm Cash. Nobody out in the top of the 10th. Brooks Robinson down at second after a single and a wild pitch. Gaylord Perry throwing to his catcher, Tim McCarver. The batter is Norm Cash.
And Cash is a pull hitter, and he'll be trying to pull that ball on the ground.
Ball is hit straight up in the air. Willie Mays in short center field. Taps that glove and has it, and Brooks Robinson bluffs the bunt. The plate of third, and Mays lines the shot right to Santo standing on third base. Needless to say, Robinson went back to second. Is Earl Batty, the second American League catcher in this ballgame. He struck out his first time up in the seventh inning. At that time, he was facing Juan Marichal. Batty with a chance for the RBI. Marichal, or rather Perry, throws, and it's ball one. And now Maury Wills comes over to say something to Gaylord Perry on the mound.
I imagine Jim Wills is coming in to talk to Perry to find out exactly how he's going to try to pitch Batty. Batty, of course, does not go one way with his hits. He can spray the ball down the right field line as well as the left. And Wills wants to know, how you going to pitch him, Gaylord? I want to know, should I play him in the hole or should I play him through the middle?
One ball, no strikes to Batty. Perry throws, and this is fouled off to the right. 1-2.
Perry is not overpowering. He moves the ball around quite a bit. He has a real good slider and a sinker ball, and he gets those right-handed hitters leaning over the plate looking for the slider on the outside corner and busts them inside. Comes sidearm occasionally to right-handed hitters. He has a fine 12-1 record at this time.
1-1 the count as Perry stares in, now has the sign. The stretch, he looks back at Brooks Robinson at second and throws low. Ball two. 49,936 paid here today in better than 100-degree temperatures. Expected to reach 108 today. It was 100 at game time, 1 o'clock this afternoon, St. Louis time. 2-1 the count to batting. 10th inning, 1-1 the score. Perry throws, and there's a ball. It could be trouble if it drops, but it'll drop foul. Almost made it into the stands down the right field line. McCool is warming up, and so is Regan for the National League. Billy McCool and Phil Regan. 2-2 now, the count to batting. One out, 1-1 the score, 2-2 the count. 10th inning. Perry's ready to throw and throws high. It is 3-2. It has worked all the way. On deck is Bobby Richardson. And it is not an exaggeration to say that these players are really finding that heat nearly unbearable. Perry at that time just put his hands on his hips and breathed deeply. Here's the pitch, and Batty accidentally fouls it. Picked up in the first base coaching box by Hank Bauer, who keeps it in play. Earl was ducking away from the pitch.
Be interesting to see if Sam Mealy should try to make a move now. He has no other defensive infielders to put in the ball game. Should he elect to use a pinch hitter for one of the infielders? So he pretty much has to go along with the infielders hitting for themselves.
There he's ready and throws inside. It's ball four. Batty walks. Been on first and second with one down in the 10th inning and Bobby Richardson due up. Now Richardson is batting in the number 8 spot, but remember, it is Fregosi who is batting in the number 9 spot, not the pitcher. And with this, Walt Alston comes out, and that is the first appearance today by either manager. Tim McCarver goes out, Alston comes over, and it may be that Alston, Tony, is going to his bullpen with men on first and second, and Richardson due up.
And Richardson is going down right now to talk to Bertie Tebbets. Bertie beckoned him down there and wants to tell him to get a good pitch to hit, not to be too anxious up there. Try and get a ball that he can hit to the outfield. Stay out of a double play situation if possible.
Well, this is a ballpark of conferences now. There's a big conference on the mound. Two of the umpires, Onichik and Barlick, are talking things over. Bauer is talking to Batty on first base. And Brooks Robinson is talking to Maury Wills, the shortstop, as they stand down at second base. But now Walt Alston comes back. Gaylord Perry remains in the game. And Bobby Richardson, after a talk himself with Bertie Tebbets, the coach at third, steps into the batter's box. Conversation's over. Bobby Richardson steps in against Gaylord Perry. Brooks Robinson at second. Earl Batty at first. One out in a 1-1 ball game in the 10th inning. Perry is ready and throws, and Richardson swings and misses. Strike one.
Bobby has been at bat one time thus far this game. He pinch hit for Bobby Knopp in the 7th inning and grounded out to his shortstop.
There's the ball hit high. If it stays in play, McCovey will have a shot at it down the right field line. Foul, and he reaches into the stands and makes the catch. Brooks Robinson bluffed toward third but goes back to second. There are two down.
And just one thing made that catch possible for Willie McCovey, and that's his big 6'6" frame with those long arms, and he reached about three rows in and pulled it back out.
Well, with men on first and second now, Jim Fregosi, who lined to Clementi in right, is the batter. Two down in the 10th. Ball game that took 2 hours and 5 minutes to play the first 9 innings is now stretched to the 10th. Gaylord Perry is ready and throws, and this one is around the letters, strike one. Perry with a sign from McCarver, looking back at Brooks Robinson, now looks in and throws, and a swing and a miss by Fregosi. It's strike two.
And I imagine, Jim, that everything on those... I know about everything that's on those infielders' mind. They want to knock any ball down that they can't make a clean play on. They're going to be diving for that ball or what have you to try and stop it from going into the outfield and scoring that winning run.
Well, Perry can afford to waste a few, and Fregosi must guard the plate outside and high from Gaylord. It is 1-2. The 1966 All-Star Baseball game being brought to you on NBC Radio. And remember, the World Series this fall. Television cameras have been draped around here in wet towels to keep them cool. Fregosi swings and misses, and that's all. In the 10th. No runs, one hit, no errors, and two men left. And at the end of the first half of the 10th inning, the score remains the National League 1 and the American League 1. Men, I want to warn you about a new razor blade. That's right, warn you, because this new blade is so good, if you try it just once, you're going to become spoiled. So spoiled that you'll probably never go back to the blades in your medicine chest. This new blade is the Gillette Super Stainless, also known as the Spoiler. It is a miracle plastic coating baked onto the edge. Shave with it just once, and you can actually feel how much less pull there is. Ask for the Spoiler, alias the Gillette Super Stainless. And after that great Gillette Super Stainless shave, see what happens when you put on Sunup Aftershave, the robust refresher from Gillette. Put a little Sunup on your face and you'll pound your chest with vigor. Splash on a handful of Sunup and you'll give the mating call of the bull ape. Two handfuls of Sunup and you might try to swing to work on a vine. Try the robust refresher from Gillette. Try Sunup. We pause 30 seconds for station identification.
WGY Schenectady, the Carl W. List truckload sale is on with the biggest bargains ever offered in the 38-year history of Carl W. List. Special hours are in effect July 14th only, open until 9 p.m. Don't miss out on these bargains. Here are just a few. GE Disposal, only $27.04. 4,000 BTU GE air conditioners, only $99. And GE full-sized wall ovens, only $78.14. Many are one of a kind, so it's first come, first served. Don't miss this Bargain Hunter's truckload sale at Carl W. List, 136 Erie Boulevard, Schenectady.
And nothing could make these St. Louis fans happier than having McCarver break this ball game up in the new ballpark right here in St. Louis.
McCarver came in defensively in the top of the eighth inning after Joe Torre had batted three times, failing to hit. McCarver, left-handed batter, will face the new pitcher for the American League All-Stars, Pete Rickard. Sonny Siebert, who is retired, worked two innings, gave up no runs, no hits, no errors. He set everybody down in order. Here's McCarver and Washington's Pete Rickard. Now the pitcher throws. Ground ball, base hit to right field. McCarver gets the base hit. Picked up there by Oliva. McCarver makes the turn and comes back. And now Ron Hunt is the batter. And Hunt is a pretty good man with the bat. And in the bottom of the 10th inning, it is highly likely that the National League will try to move McCarver into scoring position with a bunt. 1-1 the score, none out, with McCarver first in the bottom of the 10th of the 1966 All-Star Baseball game. Maury Wills is on deck, and this will be Maury's first time at bat. Now listen to the National Leaguers here in St. Louis. Rickard throws, bunt, right back to Rickard. He will go to first after looking at second. The sacrifice bunt is complete. McCarver is safe at second.
And now we have the same situation for the National League club as we did for the American League. And let's see if Maury Wills can drive in that winning run. Coming out of the National League dugout now, not to pinch hit for Maury Wills, but to pinch hit for the number nine hitter will be Felipe Alou of the Atlanta Braves. Of course, a base hit right here, Jim, and he may not have to hit.
Well, Maury Wills is hitting .292, and Maury is one of the few switch hitters in this All-Star game, and so is batting right. McCarver's at second, one down, Rickard throwing, and it's low with the fastball. And Rickard and Wills used to be on the same team, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Rickard traded from Los Angeles to Washington. Along with Frank Howard, Ken McMullen, Bill Ortega. Ground ball. Foul. Down the third baseline.
The American League outfield is playing Maury Wills very shallow. Frank Robinson in left, Tommy Agee in center, and Tony Oliva in right field. And they all three have very fine throwing arms, so it'll be interesting to see on a base hit to the outfield how close that plate could possibly be at home plate.
1-1 the count to Wills. Rickard Reddy throws a fastball, and Maury was attempting to bunt there. And fouled it at the plate. It's 1-2.
Brooks Robinson is not playing Maury Wills very closely at third base. He's not playing him in on the grass as most third basemen do play Maury Wills. He feels that Wills will try and drive that run in.
Here's the pitch. And there's a line drive over the head. Oliva will come up with it. He's got a good arm. Here comes McCarver. The play is at the plate. McCarver will score. The game is over. Field by Maury Wills. Oliva came up with the ball. McCarver was off and running with the pitch and the hit. Oliva fired the batty at home, but McCarver beat the play by two or three steps. And the National League has won by the score of 2-1. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's ball game. The final score, the National League 2, the American League 1.
Stock car races all over the country. Winner of the Daytona 500, the Rockingham 500, the Atlanta 500, Plymouth, winner of the Darlington 400, the Yankee 300 at Indianapolis, and the grueling Charlotte 600. Of course, you can't buy these race cars at your Plymouth dealer. They are specially modified just for stock car racing. But the same engineering know-how that gives the Racing Emmy such a record of performance and reliability goes into every Plymouth you can buy at your Plymouth dealer. Ride with the winner. Plymouth, a great car by Chrysler Corporation.
Ride with the winner. Plymouth, ride with the winner now.
Tony Kubek and Jim Simpson here, and the National League has won the All-Star game in the 10th inning, 2-1, by virtue of Maury Wills' line single to right field. Brooks Robinson has been voted unanimously as the most valuable player in this ball game. He made three fine plays at third base, and of course he had a couple of base hits that almost were very important for the American League. And of course the story is Maury Wills, Tim McCarver, of course, led off the game, led off the 10th inning with a base hit to right field. This made the St. Louis Cardinal fans very happy. The American League had the opportunity in the first of the 10th, one out, man on second base in scoring position, but could not get him home. And now here's Jim Simpson with a little more.
All right, Tony, the American League scored first. That was in the second inning when a line drive of Brooks Robinson skipped by Hank Aaron for a triple. Sandy Koufax on the mound at that time committed a wild pitch, and Robinson scored the only run for the American League. In the fourth inning, the National League tied it up. Willie Mays got a single, and on Clemente's single, advanced to second base. With two out, Lon Santo and Mays now at third, bounced a little ball that Robinson could not handle. It was a base hit, and Mays scored from third base, and that was the 1-1 ball game, and that's exactly the way it stayed until the 10th inning. In the 10th inning, the American League had a chance as Brooks Robinson led off with a single. His third hit of the ball game went to second on a wild pitch, and with one out, Earl Batty walked. But then Gaylord Kelly, the winning pitcher, got Bobby Richardson to foul out, and he struck out Jim Fregosi. The winning pitcher, of course, is Gaylord Perry. Gaylord Perry, the winner, and Pete Rickard, the loser. Two runs on six hits and no errors for the National League. One run, six hits, and no errors for the American League. In the overall standings, the National League has now won 19 All-Star games. The American League, 17, has been one tie. The National League has now won 8 of the last 9 All-Star games and 15 of the last 20. To repeat also, it has been very hot. The temperature game time for the 1966 All-Star game was 100 degrees. It was expected to climb as high as 108 officially, and I'm sure it was at least that on the ball field today. The entire ball game, Tony, took less than 2.5 hours for a ball game that went 10 innings. And another thrilling contest for the All-Stars. This broadcast was authorized on the broadcast rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express written consent of the Commissioner of Baseball is prohibited. Our producer today was Len Dillon. Our engineer from KSD St. Louis was John Olte. Now, this is Jim Simpson with Tony Kubek saying goodbye from St. Louis. That wraps up the 1966 All-Star Baseball game. Be with us again on October the 5th for the first game of the 1966 World Series. When your host, as today, again will be Chrysler Corporation, makers of Plymouth, Dodge, Chrysler, Imperial, and Dodge trucks. Gillette, heads up, works like water, only better. Take the pledge, use heads up. Camel cigarettes, you'll find Camel's real taste satisfies longer. And by Falstaff Brewing Corporation of St. Louis, brewers of premium quality beer. The final score once again in the 37th All-Star Game is National League 2, American League 1. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
This is the NBC Radio Network.